Your speaker is Claude Farr.
We want to take a look at the story of the faith of Abraham as presented to us in the Scriptures. The great central passage about the faith of Abraham is found in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed God, or he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's kind of the central passage in the Bible about the faith of Abraham, and it's picked up and quoted in the New Testament and given to us as an example that we're supposed to follow. I want to start out this morning just by kind of flipping through the New Testament and notice some of the great things said about the faith of Abraham. Book of Romans chapter 4, the whole chapter is about the faith of Abraham practically, but verse 3 particularly, "For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." And that, of course, is a quote from the passage I just read from Genesis chapter 15. Later on in the chapter, he commends those who walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. And this whole chapter commends the greatness of Abraham's faith. Then we turn a little further over to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, and a great deal of this chapter is about Abraham and his faith, but I'll just read a couple of verses as a sample. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the children of Abraham. And then we turn over a little further to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of the great faith of the people of the Old Testament. Abraham is not only mentioned, but there's more verses about Abraham and his faith than about anybody else in the chapter. And I'll just read a couple of verses, verses 9 and 10. "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." And then we turn a little further over in our New Testament to the book of James. And James emphasizes in James chapter 2 that Abraham's faith was a working faith, not a dead faith. And let me read verses 21 through 22. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou how faith wrought with his work, and by works was faith made perfect. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Now, you know your Bibles well enough to know that that's just a sample of what could be read from the New Testament, commending the faith of Abraham. And while other great men and women in the Old Testament are commended for the greatness of their faith, no one stands out as the supreme example of faith as is presented to us in the New Testament, as does the patriarch Abraham. He just stands for what faith really is. What I want us to do this morning is to look at the story of the faith of Abraham, and I want us to do so in order that we might conceive that it is a real faith. When we talk about the faith of Abraham, it's not some make-believe for a human faith. You might conclude that just reading the commendations given to him and to his faith in the New Testament. When we go back and look at the story of Abraham's faith, we see that Abraham, just like the rest of us, had to struggle with his faith. And I think it's good for us to understand when we look at the superhuman heroes of the Bible that they were men and women just like we are. Yet they attained great things, in Abraham's case, great faith in God. But he had to struggle and he had to work at it. So I want us to just kind of go through the story of Abraham as presented in the book of Genesis and notice this. First, we will start with the call of Abraham, and we're in Genesis chapter 12, the first three verses. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Abraham then was called to leave his country and his kinmen and go into a land that God would show him. And God made several promises to Abraham on that occasion. One is, "I will make of you a great nation." And another is that in your your family, all the nations of the earth or families of the earth will be blessed. And Abraham believed that. And the next verse says that he departed and he came to the land of Canaan. And for most of the rest of his life, he sojourned in the land of Canaan. He made an excursion or two down to Egypt, but basically he lived the rest of his life in the land of Canaan, sojourned there by faith because of the commandment that God had given him. Now in the book of Hebrews, we read about this faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So, Abraham's faith, so far, everything's okay. He heard God, he moved by faith, and he obeyed God. Next, we look at the matter of the steward in his house, Eliezer. And we're looking in Genesis chapter 15 this time. In Genesis 15, we learn that God came to Abram and said, "Fear not, I'm your shield. I'm your defense." And Abraham had this to say, I'm reading verses 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 15. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one in my house is mine heir." Now I wanted to read that just to show that Abraham is a man of faith. He believes God. And God has already promised that he will not simply have a child, but that a great nation or nations will come out of him. But Abraham on this occasion expresses what I wouldn't call his doubt. That would be maybe too strong of a word. But at least the struggle that he is having with his faith in God. When God said, "I am your shield and your defense," Abraham said, "I go childless. And this servant in my house, rather than a son, is going to inherit everything." Well, God just took Abraham outside and said, "Abraham, look up into the stars and look at them. And if you can count them, then you'll be able to number your descendants." And after that, we see Abraham's faith coming back real strong, because this is the key verse about his faith in the Bible that I read at the outset, verse 6, in this very connection. "And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness." So Abraham is a great man of faith, in spite of the fact that at one point there, he's having a little bit of a struggle. Now some time passes, and Sarah, we find in the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis, Sarah, who also, of course, knew of the promise, came to her husband and said, "You know, I cannot bear you any children. Take Hagar, this Egyptian handmaiden of mine, and she will bear children for you." And Abraham agreed. They had a child. He had a child by Hagar named Ishmael. And the chapter closes, verse 16, "And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." 86 years old, now he has the child. Chapter 17, the next chapter, opens by saying that Abraham was 90 years old and 9. And God then appeared to Abraham, to Abram actually. I keep saying Abraham because that's the word we usually use. But up to this point it's Abram. God appeared to Abraham, or Abram, and said that your name will no longer be called Abram, but your name is going to be Abraham. And the reason is, "For a father of many nations have I made you." The word Abraham means father of a multitude. Changed his name to indicate that he would be a father of many nations. And then God gave him a covenant. The covenant of circumcision. He said, "I want you to circumcise every male child of the eighth day," as well as to start with all the males in the household at this time, "and then every male child on the eighth day, and that'll be the sign of this covenant that I'm making with you, that you're going to have many descendants, that I will make of thee a great nation." Not only that, go on a little further down in the chapter, we find that God changed Sarai, I'll call her Sarah, but her name was Sarai, and changed the name to Sarah. And the reason for that is given in verse 16, "And I will bless her and give her a son also. Yea, I will bless her and she shall be the mother of nations. kings of people shall be to her. So her name was changed because she's going to be the mother of all these nations. But then listen to verse 17 and 18. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Now, we're well aware of the fact that Sarah laughed. We'll get to that in the next chapter. And usually when we learn the story of Abraham and Sarah, we zero a great deal on the fact that Sarah laughed at the very idea that she was going to have a child. But notice here, Abraham, he had the same struggle with faith. And when he's 99 years old and God says that he is going to have descendants and those descendants are going to come through Sarah, Abraham laughed. It wasn't what he thought would be possible. And we continue in verse 17, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Is that possible? Abraham is struggling with his faith. And then Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. Abraham has a son, Ishmael, by Hagar already. And so he simply says to God, when God makes this fantastic promise to him and changes both his name and his wife's name and gives them the covenant of circumcision to all stand for this great, the fulfillment of this great promise, Abraham's struggling with it. Now remember, this is the great hero of faith. He's struggling with it. And he says, oh, that Ishmael would live before you. Fulfill this through Ishmael. That's something that Abraham could certainly conceive of as being possible. But the next verse, God speaks, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now, don't overreact to the struggle in Abraham's faith. He's struggling. But the chapter continues and says that self-same day, Abraham circumcised all the males in his house. That's the sign of the covenant. Abraham is struggling. But Abraham's not doubting God. He's not giving up on God. The key to the success of his faith is that he kept right on in spite of his struggles. He kept right on doing what God said to do. And that's the secret of faith. Or as it's put in the book of Romans chapter 4, keep walking in the steps of our father Abraham. The final announcement is found in Genesis chapter 18. They're in the plains of Mamre. And the Lord appeared there and again reiterated this idea of having a child. Let me read verse 10. And I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. It's going to be now in just the 9-month period. And she's going to be having this child real soon. Verse 12 says, therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. And since this is Mother's Day, I need to say a little bit about Sarah, certainly. She gets a lot of bad press because of this. And you can look at Sarah and see her. First of all, it was her idea to give Hagar to Abraham. We're a little critical of her because of that. And that seemed to show some doubt on her part. And then here, when the promise is made, and she's in the tent and overhears it, here we're told that she laughed. But in spite of this, or maybe we should say that all this suggests is that Sarah too was human, and she was struggling with faith, but Sarah is presented to us as one of the great wives and mothers of the Bible. In 1 Peter chapter 3, when the Apostle Peter, writing by inspiration of course, wanted to present an example of exactly what a godly wife should be like, he selected Sarah as the example. And don't you ever think from reading this in Genesis about her giving Hagar to Abraham and about her laughing when she overheard that promise, don't you ever think that that means she lacked faith. She was struggling with it, sure. But listen to what the Hebrew writer has to say about her in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful and promised. And so Sarah struggled too. But Sarah is presented to us here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as a great example of a person of faith. And then with regard to this matter of their having the child, let me read from the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. This is concerning Abraham. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham believed God. We've seen the struggle that he had from time to time. But Abraham believed God and kept moving forward, doing what God told him to do. But the greatest test came after Isaac was born. Chapter 21, we read of the birth of Isaac. Chapter 22, God has a final test for the faith of Abraham. And let me read verse 2. God said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee." Now, of course, we read this today, and it's kind of unbelievable to us. And we could almost think, well, Abraham could hear that and think, well, surely God is joking. But remember that Abraham lived in an age in which human sacrifice was not unheard of. Not, of course, that God would ever condone it. But it was not unheard of. And so when Abraham heard this command, what he did was take his son Isaac and put to Mount Moriah and had Isaac on the altar and the knife already raised when God stayed his hand. Angel of the Lord stopped him. And then he saw the ram in the bushes and brought the ram out and offered that instead of his son as the sacrifice. But he demonstrated that his faith was so strong that he would even offer his only son, the very son in which all the promises culminated, if God said for him to do that. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told just how great that faith had to be. It's not just the idea of losing the son. That's not the point. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure." You see, Abraham knew that God had not made simply a promise to him. God had said the promise will be fulfilled through Isaac. And Abraham knew then if God has me to kill Isaac, then logic would suggest that the only thing that can happen is God is going to raise him from the dead. Abraham believed in his God so strongly that he believed that if that was necessary, God was able to give him back to him even from the dead, which it says he received as a figure. That is, in Abraham's mind, he had already slain Isaac. He already had the knife raised. But Abraham believed so strongly, he believed God could even raise his son Isaac from the dead. I wanted to look at the faith of Abraham, just kind of go through the story this morning, just to make this basic point. Abraham is presented to us as the great Bible example of faith, and he is. And we go through the story of Abraham, and we see not a superhuman faith, but we see a man of great faith that struggles, though, just like you and I. The key to Abraham's faith is that he didn't give up on God, he kept on believing. He had his problems. And he didn't understand it. And he had his struggles. But he hung in there with God. And he obeyed, even though he couldn't always see how it was going to turn out. He always, by faith, did what God told him to do. And the New Testament tells us that we need to imitate that faith. We need to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. I'm going to sing an invitation hymn this morning. If you're not a Christian, you need to start out with faith. Faith that will do as Abraham's faith did, obey God. And God has told you to, in faith, to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're not a Christian, that's what you need to do this morning. If you've already done that, but you've fallen by the way and need to return to the Lord, then you too need to walk by faith, and God has promised that you can be forgiven of any sin in your life.